Well, good morning. How are we doing this morning? Well, it is good to be in the house of the Lord this morning on this Palm/Passion Sunday, this strange day where we celebrate Jesus' triumphal entry, and at the same time, we remember what's about to come later on this week. But today, this morning especially, we're going to be focusing primarily on the Palm Sunday aspect. At least in a moment, it looks like we're going to have a little bit of parade in just a few seconds' time. So that's exciting. Well, let us hear these words to help us center, and then I will invite you to join together in the call to worship. On the back of a donkey, Jesus came to save us. On the road to Jerusalem, Jesus came to heal us. In the joy of laughing children and the shouts of loud hosannas, Jesus came to show us the way. I invite you to join with the call to worship, which will be up on the screen. Give thanks to God, for God is good.
God has steadfast love endures forever.
We give thanks to God who answers us, for God is our saving help. Our salvation is at hand. This is the day the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad. Hosanna.
Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.
Come, save us, Lord. Hosanna.
Give thanks to God, for God is good.
God's steadfast love endures forever. Hosanna.
Let us pray. Blessed One, our hearts sing with the children when we see you ride into Jerusalem on a donkey. Our lips shout your praises as you empty yourself to become servant of all. Open our hearts to the depth of your love, that we might walk faithfully with you during the long week ahead. Amen.
Good morning, and welcome to worship on this beautiful Palm Sunday morning. Just as Jesus was welcomed by throngs into Jerusalem over 2,000 years ago, let us please stand, if able, and welcome the light of Christ into our midst as we sing the Palms.
Good morning. Our scripture this morning is from Psalm 118. Verses 1 and 2, and then 19 through 29. Give thanks to the Lord because he is good, because his faithful love lasts forever. Let Israel say it, God's faithful love lasts forever. Open the gates of righteousness for me, so I can come in and give thanks to the Lord. This is the Lord's gate. Those who are righteous enter through it. I thank you because you answered me, because you were my saving help. The stone rejected by the builders is now the main foundation stone. This has happened because of the Lord. It is astounding in our sight. This is the day the Lord acted. We will rejoice and celebrate in it. Lord, please save us, Lord. Please let us succeed. The one who enters in the Lord's name is blessed. We bless all of you from the Lord's house. The Lord is God. He has shined a light on us. So lead the festival offering with ropes all the way to the horns of the altar. You are my God. I will give thanks to you. You are my God. I will lift you up high. Give thanks to the Lord because he is good, because his faithful love lasts forever. This is the word of God for the people of God today. Our dear Heavenly Father, We come to you this day, celebrating your entry into Jerusalem, just as the people did thousands of years ago. The Jewish people were looking for a Messiah, a king to save them. Today, Lord, here we are on the other side of the cross, and we can read in our Bible what happened this week, the week that we call Holy Week. Help us, Lord, to read and see what all you went through during that week, and knowing all the time how it was going to end. We just thank you and praise you for coming, not as a king like the Jews were expecting, but as a humble servant to show us how to live like you. Walk beside us this week as you always do, and help us to feel your presence. Lord, we ask your blessings of love and healing on our friends and loved ones that have been brought before you today. We pray that they will feel your hand upon them. Help us to be your hands and feet where needed. Help us to be brave and courageous as we spread the word of your love and grace. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Time the ushers will be coming for to collect today's tithes and offerings. No matter how you choose to give today, I encourage you to not forget to give that which God is truly asking of us, which is our hearts in service to Him today, tomorrow, and moving forward. Thank you, O God, for coming to us in Christ Jesus. Work through these gifts that the world might know the breadth of your mercy and your grace. Bless our very lives, that we might be faithful disciples and stewards of your love. With gratitude and joy, we pray. Amen. This morning's scripture reading comes from the Gospel of Matthew, the 21st chapter, verses 1 through 11. When they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus gave two disciples a task. He said to them, "Go into the village over there. As soon as you enter, you will find a donkey tied up and a colt with it. Untie them and bring them to me. If anybody says anything to you, say that the Lord needs it." He sent them off right away. Now this happened to fulfill what the prophet said, "Say to daughter Zion, look, your king is coming to you, humble and riding on a donkey and on a colt, the donkey's offspring." The disciples went and did just as Jesus had ordered them. They brought the donkey and the colt and laid their clothes on them. Then he sat on them. Now a large crowd spread their clothes on the road. Others caught palm branches off the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds in front of him and behind him shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" And when Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up. "Who is this?" they asked. The crowds answered, "It's the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee." This is the word from our scriptures this day. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. God, we come before you this morning thankful for this opportunity that you've given us to gather together as brothers and sisters in Christ. Thankful for this opportunity that we've had to hear these scriptures read aloud. And as we spend some time exploring them just a little bit, may our hearts and minds be open to receive that which your Spirit would have us receive this day. May the words from my mouth and meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you in your sight. For you, Lord, are our rock and our Redeemer, now and forever. Amen. Well, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made indeed for us, because of us. And honestly, in a way, it can be argued that out of all these high and holy days, this one is the most human of them all. Well, of course, one might begin to think this week is a divine and human encounter. In fact, we might argue it is the divine and human encounter. And this is true, but this day, this Palm/Passion Day is the most human day of this whole event, of this whole Holy Week. See, next Sunday is God's day. The event is God's, and we simply receive it like the gift that it is, like a reverse birthday. You go to a birthday party, and instead of giving the present, the host gives you the present. That's pretty cool, isn't it? Good Friday is the day where sin is exposed in all of its ugliness. Or it's the day when agape love is revealed in all of its glory and wonder, depending on if you're a glass half empty or glass half full person, right? Monday, Thursday is Jesus' day, and I know technically they're all about Jesus, but, you know, on Monday, Thursday specifically, it's when he tries one more time to teach by example and by word what it means to follow him. But this day, this is our day. Yes, it's the day that Jesus chose to make a declaration, the day that he claimed the ritual and the pageantry of triumphal entry and of royal enthronement. Yes, it's the day when he claimed the crown and the throne that was his from the beginning of creation. And we don't want to take away from that reality or that truth, and we're not going to. So if this was only Palm Sunday, then we would step back and let the parade pass us by and let our role be one of just waving palm branches, yelling out Hosanna ourselves, if that's all today was. After all, Hosanna meant originally save us, and many take that route on this day. There are some cases where not even mention of what's going to be coming up this week is brought up. And yet, at the same time, there are individuals who aren't going to be going to a Monday, Thursday, or to a Good Friday service. And so for many, it'd be like they're going from parade to resurrection without any of the story in between. And so somehow on this Sunday, we're also tasked with the responsibility of not just celebrating this triumphal entry, but also at least giving a hint about what's to come. Somehow and somewhere within the time of worship on this day, there needs to be at least a pointer, a pointing out that Jesus would be betrayed, that he'd be taken, that he would be crucified, died and buried. There needs to be an understanding of what this declaration on this Palm Sunday parade cost the one who we call the Prince of Peace. When we create an event called Palm/Passion Sunday, then it becomes an event that tells the truth about us as clearly as it tells the truth about Jesus. I mean, where else could we, in the space of one act of worship, let collide our full-throated shouts of praise and then our bloodthirsty calls for a painful death happen? Hosanna and crucify him should not be in the same week, let alone in the same hour, except for the condition of our souls and the ephemeral nature of our faith almost seems to demand it. And to declare that that was them and then and not us and now is to miss the point of the remembrance of the event. Because in a way we were there. Or rather, he is here, and this event is now. And one of the overriding questions for this day is, with that in mind, where do we stand? On this parade day, where do we stand? In the place of judgment, where do we stand? When Jesus stands before us, bloodied and beaten, where do we stand, and what do we say? Now, I'm not sure about you, but I've been in a couple parades in my lifetime. They're fun events. As you're walking along the streets, trying to remember to throw out candy to every single kid you come across. I mean, I remember those days. Sometimes felt kind of awkward. Probably my most fun parades I was in were homecoming parades back in high school. I'm not sure what Benton Central does, if they even do a homecoming parade. No, not around town. Well, I remember back in Pendleton Heights, the parade winding through downtown Pendleton, and my high school liked to do it up. And I mean do it up. Each class in the high school would make their own floats, which then would wind up going around the track around the football field before the game started. And of course, there were judges that were judging which class won the float competition. And my junior year, when my class beat out the seniors, the seniors were ticked. That year, it was a Navy battleship that they constructed. And inside of this battleship structure, we had set up fire extinguishers that we would blow off so it looked like the cannons were going off. Senior year, not to be outdone by the previous year. I tell you what, there were some really gifted engineers that wound up going to Purdue out of my class. I'm just saying. Senior year, an Apache war helicopter on a scissor lift. With strobe lights inside where the machine gun turrets are. On the wings of this thing. And just to top it off, as the scissor lift went up, the American flag went up too. We won again, I'm just saying. Even though I didn't have a whole lot to do with the actual construction of the float, because I didn't have all the time to put in that everybody else did, I was there every once in a while to help support my friends who did. And of course, I remember going around the parade and thinking that was pretty hot stuff. I don't know why. But parades are like that. Like, you're in this parade and you very quickly realize that everybody's attention is on you. And depending on the day, you might like that attention or maybe not so much. I remember going through a couple of parades just feeling awkward as I'll get out. So do you think that's why Jesus did it? For the attention, for the adulation? Knowing what was to come, did he just want to soak up a little bit of honor before being subjected to the shame and suffering that was to be his lot? Did he want a helpful and hope-filled parade where people actually liked him versus the parade on the way to Golgotha later on in the week? I mean, if that was the case, who could blame the guy? He was fully human, after all. That would seem to be a fully human thing. At least, let me get a little bit of appreciation in this life before I'm thrown out. But it doesn't quite seem right that even here on this threshold, the one who would soon be on his knees washing the dust of the city streets off of his disciples' feet would be so self-serving on this first Palm Sunday. Doesn't quite seem right. So we come around to this idea of Jesus and the parade again. The odd little celebration marked by palm leaves and shouting in church. You know, some churches literally go all out. Some churches bring in a live donkey down the aisle and up on the stage. And you know, all along, the trustees and whoever does maintenance is having a conniption about it the whole time. Watching carefully for what gets left behind, and you know exactly what I mean. So many questions come to mind as we read the story of Jesus' coming into Jerusalem. Was this parade prearranged, or was it just somehow mystical, or did the disciples commit grand donkey larceny? If the crowd was really as large as Matthew says, then who was the whole city asking the identity question from the fringes of the parade? And how did Jesus manage to sit on a donkey and its colt at the same time? Was the crowd drawn by some kind of divine balancing act between these two animals? And did the homeowners lining this impromptu parade begin to complain to the housing authority about the crowd pulling branches off the trees in their front yards? More importantly, though, The real question was, did they get it? Did they get it? This was a message that Jesus was trying to send to the people. Matthew got it. The author of this gospel, he got it. Might have been a few years later, but he got it. That's why he dredges up Zechariah, that prophet's words, to help us get the point about the king who comes into town, not on a war horse, but on a donkey of peace. So did these people get it? That were lining the streets and throwing their clothes so that the donkey's hooves didn't have to go through the city dust? Did they see the symbolism and fully appreciate it for what it was? Well, I mean, they were shouting Hosanna, so that implies that they might have gotten it, right? Hosanna meaning save us. So maybe they did get it. Maybe they got it, or at least they wanted to get it. But then the city was clueless. Who is this? They would ask. And maybe the city and the crowd were marching side by side. Maybe the crowd was large, but was made up of followers and city dwellers, some of whom got it and some of whom didn't. Maybe some people just tagged along because they're like, oh, there's a group of people. Maybe I should be walking with them too. Maybe they were just trying to see what was going on. Maybe they were marching along and waving their branches and shouting Hosanna just because everyone else was. Some scholars say that by this point in time, Hosanna had lost its original meaning of save us and became more of a way of just simply saying hooray or howdy or... Which some of us might be like, well, that doesn't make much sense, but think about whenever we say goodbye. The original meaning of goodbye was God be with you, God bless you, God go with you on your journey. And yet, we've just condensed it to simply goodbye and taken a completely secular turn to it as a general way of just ending a time together, ending a get-together. These people, their brows were furrowed, and they would turn to the one beside them and ask, why are they doing this again? And maybe the response would be a shrug. Yeah, I don't know. They're just being weird, I guess. Or maybe the response was, well, that's Jesus, the guy from Galilee. Oh, right. Jesus, the guy from Galilee. Uh-huh. Pretending to know who in the world this Jesus from Galilee was. We've all done that before, right? Who is that again? Oh, you know so-and-so. Oh, yeah, so-and-so. Did they really get it? I mean, honestly, it's hard to say. One thing Matthew is clear about, though, is that disaster was right around the corner. If there was any hope that Jesus was using this event to soak up a little goodwill, it'd be shattered completely in the very next verse after this. You see, the parade didn't end with handshakes all around and a few high fives for a job well done. The parade didn't end with Jesus walking up on a platform and being given the keys to the city. No, the parade, it trundled all the way from the gates of the city to the temple, where Jesus would then turn over some tables and knocked over some dove cages. It ended with a rumble. The self-proclaimed King of Peace engages in an act of violence that left them all shocked and confused. Because what peace was he announcing? What peace was he bringing? And if you're going to strike a blow, why not strike a blow against the foreign oppressors and not the economic machinery of our own people? Especially when that machinery is going to be striking back. Especially when the Pharisees and the religious leaders are going to be doing everything they can to make sure that Jesus gets crucified by the end of the week. Couldn't he have just left a note? Dear temple, please stop taking financial advantage of our people and use the temple for worship only. Signed, Jesus. Wouldn't that have been better? At least it would have been safer. Might not have gotten the attention. It wouldn't have been the attention-grabbing thing to do, but why did he have to provoke? I know usually during the course of a Sunday sermon, a charge, a challenge, an encouragement for a particular direction for life is put out there. However, today is not really one of those days. Congratulations, I am not sending you home with homework. Sometimes what our faith development needs most is just to take a moment and recognize that we just need to simply ponder and wonder and even experience these stories, to ruminate on them, to just sit back and listen and begin to wonder a little bit. And I know that that might make some of us uncomfortable. After all, we like answers. Part of the human experience is to want and even demand answers. And yet, maybe just wondering and being honest with ourselves is what we need most to grow. Sometimes we don't need to be told what to do. Sometimes what we need to do is just to sit in the moment and experience it and soak it in. To examine it. To ask ourselves the question, where am I in this story? Do I get it? Some 2,000 odd years later. Maybe we just need to hear what this parade turns into. Maybe we just need to come and hear what steps are taken once Jesus dismounted from that donkey. When you pick up that palm branch, ask yourself, would I be walking along Jesus in the parade? Or would I would just let him walk past? Ask yourself if you'd be shouting Hosanna. And if you were shouting Hosanna, would be shouting Hosanna in the hooray kind of way? In the howdy kind of way? Or would you be shouting Hosanna because you realize that your life is a mess and you need to be saved? Would you just be like, whatever, as he walked by? Or would you be able to get the word out of your throat because it got choked up there? Where are you at as you sit and ponder and ruminate and place yourself in the crowds around Jesus? Where would you be standing in the midst of it? All kinds of questions come to our minds when we pay attention to the parade on Palm Sunday. Yet there is one question that seems particularly poignant when we stop to consider that this same crowd that shouted Hosanna on Sunday began to shout Crucify Him on Friday. And that question is, how much more human can we be? That is why today it's not a personality disorder, for which is it? It's a question of, where do I stand in this moment? And a very honest recognition that at one point in time you were standing over there. How much more human can we be? This is the day that we are revealed. This is the day that our hearts of hope are broken when we stop and realize what's going to happen sooner rather than later. This is the day that the Lord has made. It might be hard to rejoice in it, but at the very least we can sit in it. And from there we can grow. Let us pray. God, some days we recognize are harder than others. Some days we recognize that We are in a different place than where we were. Some days we just want to be told what to do and where to go, and yet it is in some of those moments that you just tell us to sit still and experience it. To sit still and ruminate on it. So, Lord, let me ask you humbly to help us sit in it. Help us to consider where it is that we would be, where we stand, and where we're going. Lord, on this Palm Sunday / Passion Sunday, may we be honest with ourselves about where we are and where we have been, so that moving forward, we might know the direction that you're calling us to go, that we, moving forward, might know. That you're here to save us. Lord, we love you and we trust you. And it's in your name that we pray. Amen. We come now to this time in our service, being the first Sunday of the month, where we celebrate communion. We celebrate Christ's love in our lives. Christ our Lord invites us to his table, all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors. And we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through your prophets. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. And blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. Your Spirit anointed him to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to announce that the time had come when you would save your people. He healed the sick, fed the hungry, and ate with sinners. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. When the Lord Jesus ascended, he promised to be with us always, in the power of your word and Holy Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, We offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died, Christ has risen, Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. And now, with the confidence of the children of God, let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Because there is one loaf, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one loaf. The bread which we break is a sharing in the body of Christ. And the cup over which we give thanks is a sharing in the blood of Christ. In the United Methodist Church, we practice what is known as an open table, which means that you don't have to be a member of this church or a member of the United Methodist Church in particular. The only thing that is required is a desire to come closer to Jesus this day. Come as you feel called by the Spirit to come forward. Until we meet again, my friends, may the road rise up to meet you, the wind be always at your back, may the sun shine warm upon your face, and the rains fall soft upon your fields. And until we meet again, as you wave your palm branches in your hand, ask yourself, where do you stand? Sit on it, ruminate on it, and spend some time asking yourself, do I get it? And as you're ruminating, do so knowing that you're always in the palm of the Almighty's hand. Amen.